If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. It is a great joy to greet you again today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We here at Worth Baptist Church are rejoicing in the wonderful things that God is doing for us in the days of our spring enlargement program. You'll be glad to know that our Sunday school is averaging over 500, and we are happy about the souls that are being saved, the additions to the church, and the outreach of our church's ministry around the world. I want to give to you today a special invitation to come and visit with us here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The textbook of Worth Baptist Sunday School is the Bible. We believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible Word of God. And we believe today, if you'll come and study God's Word with us, you'll be blessed by doing so. Remember, the Sunday school hour is at 10 o'clock, where we are currently in a series of studies in the Gospel according to John. Come today and study John chapter 13 with us in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11. We believe you'll discover the inspirational music, the fellowship with God's people, the spiritual atmosphere, and the message from God's Word will make your day better by worshiping with us in the Sunday morning worship service. Our Sunday evening worship service begins at 7. Currently, I am in a series of messages entitled 1975 in Prophecy. This is an important year. Could this be the year of the rapture? Could this be the year that our Lord Jesus Christ will return? Could this be the year that this age will come to an end and a new age will begin? I trust that you'll come tonight to hear the message from the book of the Revelation entitled, A Living Hell on Earth. Does the Bible say anything about hell opening up and about it coming to the surface of the earth? Let's see what God's Word says about it as you come and hear the message tonight entitled, A Living Hell on Earth. That's the message in the series of messages, 1975 in Prophecy. And we want you to come tonight at 7 to hear this message. And then we have a word of special announcement. Our 21st anniversary will be on Sunday, March the 2nd. We're looking forward to that being the greatest day in the history of Worth Baptist Church. We're looking forward to having more than 750 people in Sunday school on that day. I trust that you'll make your plans now to visit with us on Anniversary Sunday, March the 2nd, when we celebrate our 21st anniversary and homecoming day. Make your plans now to be a part of this great service. And again, in the meantime, for all of the services of Worth Baptist Church, we invite you to come and visit with us and enjoy the good things that God is doing at this place. We believe all things are possible with God. In fact, our text from Luke 1:37 is simply this: with God, nothing shall be impossible. Even in the midst of economic problems and political crises and all kinds of difficulties that face America today and that face you on the job and in your home and wherever you are, we believe in spite of all of these, God is able to do far above anything that we could ask or think. That problem that you have in your home, in your life, in your business, you might think that that problem has no solution. You might think it's all an impossibility. But remember this, God specializes in the impossible. And you can realize the possibility of the impossible as you put your faith in God. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we're teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. And we believe this, Philippians 4:19, our golden text, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place where you can discover a friendly atmosphere and a spiritual warmth, we believe you'll find it at Worth Baptist Church. Remember, we're located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Last year, we purchased 14 acres of ground adjoining the Fort Worth State School on Campus Drive, just 1/2 mile north of Loop 820. We're looking forward to moving in that direction, but in the meantime, at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we'll be looking for you to come and visit with us today. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. If you would care to receive the tapes on the messages of Worth Baptist Hour, cassette tapes, we invite you to write and inquire as to how you can receive these tapes week by week. Remember, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, "The Wonderful Work of God." I shall read from the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning at verse 34. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful indeed today for Thy wonderful blessings in our lives. We thank Thee for Thy marvelous grace, the grace that has brought salvation to us. We thank Thee for the liberty and the freedom that we have to worship Thee in this country. We thank Thee for the medium of radio. We thank Thee that the gospel can be heard across this area, throughout the city. And we ask that as those who have tuned today seeking something for their souls are listening in this moment, that the Holy Spirit would do something for their hearts. We pray, dear Lord, that those who are unsaved might come to know the Savior, those who are discouraged and despondent, for those who are seeking a way out and who need a helping hand, a guiding light, a word of encouragement. We pray today that they might discover that as they listen to this broadcast. We would offer a special prayer in behalf of our shut-in friends, those who are sick within their homes or within the hospitals or at the rest homes or wherever they are in this hour. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would direct this message to their hearts, bringing comfort and strength and sustenance to their souls. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now in the book of Acts, chapter 5, at verse 34, we read, "Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Let me call your attention back to the last part of verse 38 and verse 39. If this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. The wonderful work of God. It all began in the ages of eternity past. We read in Psalm 90, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Even before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. We open the Bible, not just an ordinary book, but the inspired, infallible Word of God. When we open the Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 1, we read in verse 1, In the beginning, God. My friend, if you believe that statement, if you believe that God was in the beginning, and that God existed from eternity past, then you will have no problem believing everything that God has said within the framework of His book that we call the Bible. In the beginning, God. There are two words today that will erase all the doubt and all the fear that you have in your soul. Do you have doubts and fears that are overwhelming your life today? If you do, let me give you those two words, and I want you to write them down and put them in your heart and put them in your mind. And those two words are these: God is. Now, you have a difficulty in your life, a problem, a heartache, a crisis, but God is. That is, God exists. God lives, and God is able to do far above anything that you could ask or think of Him. God is omnipresent. That is, God is everywhere present. God is omniscient. That is, God knows everything. My friend, God knows everything about you today. He knows your employment number, your social security number, your area code number, your zip code number, your telephone number. He knows everything about you today. And not one thing in your life goes unseen by the omniscient eye of God. God knows who you are and where you live and what you're doing right now. God is omnipotent. That is, God has all power. You might think that those things that are facing you are too hard for Him, but they are not, because God is, and God is omnipotent. And my friend, God is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's tender. He's kind. God is love, the Bible says. God is all of these things. And God is right now ready to save your never-dying soul. God is, and God is at work. My message entitled, The Wonderful Work of God. Everything that you do in the name of Jesus Christ is the work of God. When the little toddler in the department sings, or the little boy in the kindergarten recites the memory verse, or the little girl in the primary prays a prayer, or the juniors pledge allegiance to the Bible, all of this is the work of God. Why, Jesus Christ said, even to give a cup of cold water is the work of God. On one occasion, Jesus said to His followers, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. The disciples, in wonderment and in astonishment, looked at one another. And then they looked at Jesus, and one of them asked Him, Master, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison? When did we give you anything to eat or drink or clothes to wear or visit you in confinement? Jesus answered them, Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these my little ones, you have done it unto me. When Jesus fed the 5,000, He said to His disciples, You make them to sit down. You organize. You get involved. Then Jesus said, You give them to eat. And then Jesus said, when it was all over, You gather up the fragments. In other words, Jesus was saying, You become a partner with me. We are working together. This is the work of God, and we share it together. There is a great work to do within the confines of the church today and in the church's outreach ministry around the world. And every ounce of energy that you expel, and every dime or dollar that you give, and every step that you take, and every breath that you breathe, and every word that you utter in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the work of God. God chooses human instrumentalities through whom to work. God has always used men. When God wanted to build the ark, He chose a man by the name of Noah. He didn't send an angel down with a hammer and a nail and boards. He used a man to do it. When God wanted to deliver a nation, He used a man by the name of Moses. When God wanted to conquer a country, He used a man by the name of Joshua. And even when God developed the plan and program of redemption, He used the man Jesus Christ. The man Christ offered Himself on the cross, there to die as a substitute for your sins and mine. I repeat, God works through human instrumentalities, and the work of God is the greatest work on earth. The Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that they might see with the eyes of their understanding. All the great works of art and architecture are seen with a soul before they are ever put down on paper or on canvas. God has worked something in the hearts of those whom He has called into His business to do His work. God has turned something over in their souls, enabling each one to see before the work is done. My friend, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you'll never build a Sunday school class until you see it with the eyes of your soul. If you're the Sunday school superintendent, you'll never develop a great Sunday school. If you're a pastor, you'll never build a great church until you can see with the eyes of your soul what can be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote something more to the church at Ephesus. He wrote in chapter 2 at verse 21, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up unto an holy temple in the Lord." No doubt Paul had in mind the ancient temple of Solomon that took 180,000 men 7 years to build. Look at that crew yonder in the quarry polishing stones. Look at the crew down in the mines mining gold. Look at the crew up in the forest of Lebanon cutting down the timber. And when they brought all of these materials to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that not one hammer, not one axe, not one tool was laid upon one single stone, but that they all were fitly framed together by God Himself. That, my friend, is precisely what God is doing in this hour in building the great organism that we know as the church. God is fitly framing together His work. Now, it doesn't always seem logical, but my friend, we do not operate by logic. We operate by faith. Paul says in Hebrews 11, "By faith we believe that the worlds were framed. By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith Noah built an ark. By faith Abraham left his own city. By faith Moses chose to suffer the affliction of God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a season." I repeat, we do not operate by reason and by logic. We operate by faith. And what seems ridiculous and impossible and unreasonable to an unbelieving world is altogether reasonable and logical and possible because God said, "Do it." It is not logical that in these days of the high cost of living that you'll give more to your church this year than you did last year, but you will because you believe God will meet your need. It is not logical that you can multiply what you have by dividing it, but God's principle is multiply by division. You divide what you have, God multiplies it over and over again and again. I repeat, these things are not logical, but they are by faith possible. They are by faith something that can be seen with the eyes of the soul, then you can see them with the eyes of your body. God enables us to do that which seems illogical and unreasonable, and it becomes an accomplished fact. Let me point out three things about the wonderful work of God. Number one, it is essential. Jesus said, I must do the works of Him that sent me. Number two, the wonderful work of God is eternal. In Psalm 111 and verse 8, we read, the works of God are forever. And then thirdly, the work of God, the wonderful work of God, is efficacious. And by that we mean it produces a desired result. And the greatest work that God ever did was the work of Christ upon the cross in providing redemption for your never dying soul. And that work was indeed efficacious. That is, it produces the desired result. God wills that men are saved. And through the work of Christ upon the cross, you can be saved today. It matters not your past. It matters not what your sin is, how long you've been sinning, or how many sins you've committed. If you will, by faith today, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved in this moment. I have this footnote, and then I shall be through. You and I are God's workmen, and if we don't do the work of God, it will not be done. I would bid you today to come to the place in your life when you're willing to say, Dear Lord, this is your business, this is your work, and my life is your life. Surrender your life to Christ and work for Him in the wonderful work of God. As we leave the broadcast today, we want to invite you again to come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarga Street in Fort Worth. Remember, our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship hour at 11, our Sunday evening worship service at 7. Don't forget, the special series of messages continues tonight, 1975 in prophecy, and my message is entitled, A Living Hell on Earth. I trust that you'll come and visit with us today. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.